What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 5, Lock Up. And oh my gosh, hate to sound like a broken record, but there's a lot of good stuff to talk about tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, that was a smidgen intense. Nothing like a prison brawl to get the evening started, right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I spend most Friday nights.
I mean,
start.
Just the way to start the weekend, right?
That's the 8 p.m. slot before you truly go out.
I'd say Ghost Rider was off the chain.
I actually want to take a few minutes when we get the ball rolling. I want to see how many action sequence one-liners you can come up with, because you were firing off quite a few.
Oh, man, you show me an action sequence, I'll come up with some one-liners for you.
We'll get to that in a minute. Hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Lock Up. And let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. You know, I thought Robbie was on fire tonight.
Oh, I asked for this.
You guys can find me on Twitter at @ZachWilson.
Hi, I'm
Jesse Klein.
I'm Jesse Klein, and I appreciate you if you didn't ask me about anything Mac did tonight. I'm very emotional about it. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Oh, gosh. And, I'm Megan. I don't have a one-liner for you, I'm afraid. I'm Megan. You guys can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. So be sure to use the hashtag for those of you following live at ABTV Marvel. We've got the live chat pulled up.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do. And
thanks for joining us late, you guys.
Yeah. Exactly. We are in a new time slot. And we know it's late for some people. We had one person comment that their before work lit podcast has now become their after work podcast. So
cool.
Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us through all these time changes. Sadly, Agent Azuri is again MIA this week.
She's
again,
on an extended assignment.
A lot of stuff going on.
She's got a partner she's working with. They're going to be doing it long term. she's getting married. So
we explained this last week. We don't have to be coy about it.
Yeah, she's getting married, guys. So her schedule's a little on the busy side.
Oh, the studio audience had something to say about that.
We are here, and we are here to talk about tonight's episode. Guys, I want to know initial thoughts.
Right before we start, there's calls for the pun jar. There's never been a pun jar on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was on the Sleepy Hollow show. We can't afford it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's too many puns. It would have to be a pun trash can.
A pun barrel.
A pun dumpster.
Also, I think I would quit partway through, and I would either just
expire
here. Are you saying
you would lay down the shield and walk away?
I'd say the...
No, because I'm not Coulson, who just...
Had the Taskmaster shield.
Oh my god!
He had the Taskmaster shield. It was so awesome.
It was amazing.
I'd say that. I'd say with the pun jar, I'd say the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Moving on.
I think that's the most emotional I think I've ever seen you on this show. Yeah.
Over
just that moment.
The hand shield.
Taskmaster shield.
Oh my god! I love the hand shield.
It's so cool.
It's so perfect. We talked about it the first time it showed up.
Yeah,
but like,
which...
it's so perfect in so because of so one. It's a shield.
Yeah,
which is just hilarious on its own. It is perfect for Coulson because, of course, he's got a Captain America feature.
Yeah, he loves
on
Cap.
His like hand.
Of course, yeah. And again, the S.H.I.E.L.D. branding is just fantastic.
Yeah,
and it's got a it just has this perfect like. Coulson has superpowers now.
Yeah,
like the guy who was never supposed to have any powers at all has a superpower.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's cool because he's so unassuming, you know, in his prim and proper suit that you forget sometimes that he does have that robot prosthetic. And so when he smacks a prison inmate across the face, you're forgetting, oh yeah, no, that is a piece of S.H.I.E.L.D. tech that he just thwacked that guy with. And even though we know this is what he's capable of, it's always such a joy to see him use it and to see that S.H.I.E.L.D. come out. It was just, yeah, it's always just fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. If I was Coulson, I would 24/7 have that shield. I would never not have
use
that
it
shield.
As a table. Yeah. Like just
yeah, I'd put my hand down on the table, detach, and then use it as like a coaster.
It would never not be inconvenient. I'd be reaching for stuff and just knocking everything over because the shield was constantly out.
They're like, you're not in the middle of combat right now. You can put
doesn't
that away.
Doesn't matter. Shield out.
I have a soft spot, too, for characters who can, like, in a fantasy setting, like, summon a magical shield.
Sure.
So, like, this is the S.H.I.E.L.D. science fiction equivalent of that. And so it's awesome. It's so much fun to watch. So would you guys say that that's your highlight for tonight's episode?
There were a lot of highlights.
No, because if you want to, can we just talk about Robbie? Because I can get to
let's
my highlight.
Ahead, let's go ahead and move on, right on into the Robbie Reyes side of things. Because I really enjoy, well, first of all, like, it's hard not to immediately talk about, like, his, the implications for his backstory and the answers that we get mm-hmm. for Robbie's backstory here and what, you know, it means for his brother, too. But before we get into that, I really liked his team up with Mac.
Yeah.
Like, they're both such, like, hard-headed characters that seeing them work together was really entertaining.
Yeah.
Mac is a good team-up guy.
Yeah.
The actor really does a great job of playing off other people. And, like, it's really satisfying to see him team up with people. And it's, like, the perfect choice. You know, they're introducing Robbie to the team. He's the perfect choice to be the first kind of person that he's bouncing off is Mac.
I think as Mac has this great balance where he can go very light and silly. Like he's got a shotgun axe that he like flipped onto his back and just like clicked in there.
I don't see what's silly about that.
And at one point he's literally chasing down a ghost with his shotgun axe.
Again, I don't see what's silly about this.
Super serious show right here,
but,
guys.
But the point is, like, Mac has that side. Yeah. And then, but he can instantly switch to serious. And you totally buy it from him because he's been through enough that we know that he has struggled. And we, like, because we met his brother last year, we know some of his, what has made him hard in that way. He's also just a big guy. He's effective in most situations.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, and it takes a big personality to put Robbie Reyes in his place because Robbie Reyes has been, you know, doing his own thing this entire season and again, murdering people who quote unquote deserve it, which they do. But that being said, not necessarily vigilante justice. And he's been a vigilante thus far.
I mean, I loved the beginning interaction where Robbie's like, I don't take orders. And then Coulson's like, well, then this will be a new experience for you. Like that to me was like classic S.H.I.E.L.D. dialogue.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, again, how deeply, you know, the Ghost Rider's abilities are, like in terms of being able to read personalities and just see people for who they are. Because when you look at Robbie looking at the rest of the team, I really wonder, what does he see when he looks at somebody like Mac? Just like, yeah, this is somebody who's standing in my way, but he's a good guy. Like, I can tell, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Coulson, who has some deaths on his conscience that, like, he feels guilty for.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, ultimately, they're still doing good work.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's like, how does Robbie gauge each member of the team? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. All right, this Ghost Rider jacket. Like, it's, I'm wearing my Ghost Rider jacket.
Because the AC is out in the studio. It's really hot.
I don't
hot.
Think the AC's broken. I think Robbie's somewhere hiding.
Yeah.
That might be it.
Oh, gosh. You guys don't have any deaths on your conscience, right? That, like, nothing you feel guilty about?
I feel guilty about a whole lot.
I feel like I could stare him down and walk away.
Guilt is my main motivating emotion.
I'm Catholic, same here.
Okay, yeah, Jewish, but, so.
There you go.
But yeah, but only one person can make us, like the Jews, like you and me, like feel guilty, and it's not Ghost Rider.
No, it's the most powerful force in the universe, our mothers.
Yep. Exactly.
I don't think that's just specifically to Jewish people. I feel like that applies to most everyone.
No, but that's a superpowered, like, they have it to a level, like, he's over 9,000. Like, it's like, that's what it is for Jewish mothers. Hey, we're getting
anyway,
way off the
we're
subject.
Way off topic.
Speaking of Shadow Cat, she's a Jewish superhero. Yeah, back to Robbie
back
Reyes.
To Robbie Reyes. I was going to say, we can probably talk about mutants a little later.
Yeah.
But back to Robbie Reyes.
Can't say that word.
You can't say that
word. Oh, you're right. I said the M word, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Well,
I'm
apparently, yeah. Well, okay. Let's stick
but
to
anyway, so Robbie, he comes across an inmate from Fifth Street. And this guy, you could already tell that, like, he immediately gets under Robbie's skin. He recognizes him as somebody who is definitely a part of the gang members he's systematically been taking down. And
killing.
Yeah, let's not beat around the bush. Murdering.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is that this guy, as we come to find out at the end of the episode, was basically ordered a hit out on Robbie and his brother for unknown reasons. Some hitmen fired at them, lit their car on fire, and left both of them for dead, leaving Gabe as a paraplegic. And presumably Robbie was okay. I mean, we don't know. Again, we'll find out more next week, but we don't know the order of events at the moment. Predictions.
Yep.
Oh, do you have something?
What if it was Eli?
It might have been.
Because, like, we've talked about how, like, because they changed from the, because in the comic book origin of Ghost Rider, which I have one of the volumes sitting right
look at that.
Here.
It's very
Eli's very evil. He's not a good guy.
He's a monster. Mm.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's also the spirit of vengeance that's in Robbie.
Yeah, and he's systematically taking down the mafia or gang members or whatever who were responsible for his own death and using Robbie to accomplish that.
So what if, like, this is how, like, Eli, like, we don't know the motivation or anything yet, but, like, what if it's Eli that ordered this hit in for some, I don't know what the reason would be.
I was thinking the hit was on Eli.
It could have been. I mean,
that, like, maybe he led a life of being in a gang and he reformed from that, but this gang didn't let that go.
They did say that, they did establish that the Charger belonged to Eli.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. So,
and if Robbie and
was driving it, yeah.
Maybe Robbie and Gabe took it out for, like,
a joyride.
Yeah, joyride, and, like, against Eli's.
And then, like, he didn't know it was happening. And then, like, yeah. And then hitmen saw the car and they were like, sure. Oh, that must be the guy. Because I assume all hitmen talk like they're still in the 30s.
They do. Confirm.
You need it. You can't shoot people without talking like that.
Exactly. That's a fact. But yeah, and something, it could also be that maybe it didn't have anything to do with gang politics. It might, and it might not have been orchestrated by Eli himself. Maybe it was Lucy. Maybe Lucy and Joe wanted to keep the Darkhold to them. I mean, it kind of seems weird that people who have magical powers at their disposal would resort to be like, hey, gang over there, put a hit on our
No,
on our
but
other
that's
guy.
How you cover your tracks is you make it look like it's
you
just
make
a
it look
gang
like an
shooting.
Or
the police,
random act of violence.
Yeah, because the police won't investigate that as much as, like,
if he lives in a rough
somebody,
neighborhood. Yeah.
If somebody dies by some weird, like, his head just seemed to explode from nowhere, yeah. Then, like, you get S.H.I.E.L.D. involved.
All these gang members are spontaneously combusting for some reason.
Or some guy in a red cape shows up and is like, I think there's a problem here.
Yeah. Yeah, especially having their spines ripped out. I don't think I'll be over that at all this season. I don't know if the show will ever top like that in terms of like gruesomeness.
Yeah,
it's come close a couple times, but yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Lucy and Joe, because we actually get to see the Darkhold in this episode.
Are you talking about the Boo Crew?
I like the Boo Crew better than the Peanuts Gang.
Yep, Boo Crew for life. Hashtag Boo Crew for life.
Well, we'll put out a poll later, guys. Or what Boo do you Crew guys for think? Death. The Peanuts Gang or Boo Crew? Please let us know.
This was my highlight. The beginning of the show was my highlight. I love this kind of mysticism and creepiness and like magic. Like, that's right up my alley. It was legitimately creepy. Like, it wasn't scary, but it was like off-putting and weird. I love the specific that it was in German for one person and English in another.
Oh, that's awesome. Because it, like, obviously it's not written out.
Yeah.
It's mystical. It's more powerful than that. And this is a book that's so ancient. There's obviously it would not have been written in English.
Yeah.
So it was probably not, since it's probably not even from our dimension.
Yeah.
It would have to have the ability to just let whoever it is that's reading it know what it says.
Well,
it's the babblefish of evil texts.
And that kind of creates a few questions as to whether or not the book can choose who to reveal its secrets to or not as well. And I think the implication is just because Lucy's dead, you know, it's not showing up for her. But it does at first. Like, there's writing in the book, and then the writing disappears when she tries to go through it. So I feel like I don't know if it's like sentient or not, but I feel like there's like, if like some other force wanted to, it could withhold information from someone. I don't know. Maybe that's too far out there.
I think it's got like some sort of internal programming, for lack of a better word. And it like senses sentience. And so like when Lucy first touched it, it was like, oh, this is
a sentient being. Yeah.
But as she touched it further, it was like, no, this is a dead thing. I don't reveal my secrets to dead things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say it is a little weird, and maybe it's just because I'm like an Ash versus Evil Dead fan, that like when I see an evil mystical book, I don't expect to see the name of said evil mystical book like embroidered on the front in English.
Yeah.
Like, that's confusing a little bit.
That's your first language, Megan.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's presenting the title of the book to you in the language that you know.
Oh, well played, Mr. Wilson.
Ha ha!
Well,
I thought it was weird, too. It was like...
I had an interesting thought. What if a blind person read The Darkhold? Would it come
would
up
it
in a
appear
braille?
In braille?
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh, that's an excellent question.
They do imply that it's... Well, they say first language, but like, I don't...
Which braille would not be your first language.
But it would be the only way... Would it know that you are... It's the only way that you would understand it. Maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like it would go, okay, this isn't working.
So,
here's Braille.
So you're
Braille.
Saying that Daredevil is coming to read the Darkhold.
Yeah, this is my theory. Daredevil's going to come and read this Darkhold.
Or maybe it would be like, oh, okay, English is your first language, and like all of the letters would be embossed. The book.
Well, more logical. I mean, we keep talking about the Netflix S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover potential. Like, Stick could show up. Instead
Ooh,
of Matt.
To be like, you guys are lucky you don't have to deal with...
Because he's dealt with a lot of mystical stuff. I'm just saying, the hands got into all crazy things.
I don't think any of the Netflix characters are coming to see the Darkhold. I was just, as an interesting thought experiment, I was thinking about what would happen if a blind person obtained this Darkhold. That's all.
I imagine the book would concoct some way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean... That's an excellent example.
Unless the reader showed up. And if the reader showed up, which is
an inhuman.
The reader is an inhuman who any word he reads, like, he has, like, cards. And if he reads a word, he can make it just happen.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
He's blind, so it has to be something that's written in Braille.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think
that's happening.
I don't think they're going to do this. I think somebody asked me like a few weeks ago, like, well, what are the chances we see the reader? And I was just like, very, very slim, because visually like, and aesthetically just looks so much like Gordon.
Yeah.
That you can't have another blind inhuman. It would get confusing.
One mystical being at a time.
But in the scene where they find the maggot-covered book, we spotted a little Easter egg, which is the poster that was there, was for the Quentin Carnival, which, if you guys are Ghost Rider fans, you'll know that the Quentin Carnival, for a lot of his early stories, a lot of his villains came from there. A lot of his stories surrounded that. Johnny Blaze was a part of the carnival for a while. He fought a lot of the people who started the carnival.
Like, he ran it for a short time.
Like, the carnival was like a major part of Johnny Blaze's story. So even though we're not dealing with the original Ghost Rider character, they're still like giving us little things.
Unless that's a hint of something to come.
Or it could be a hint of something to come.
Which, again, next week we're going to, and not to jump into predictions, but most of this show is basically predictions anyway. But, like, next week we're going to get more of Robbie Reyes's origin story. And it's interesting, again, given that Eli is still currently alive, how much of Johnny Blaze's story has been retrofitted to fit Robbie Reyes. But again, it all works. None of it seems forced. None of it seems, like, unsatisfying in any way. Like, the changes that they're making are very good.
I also really love the moment when they're reading the Darkhold. They started off, they were holding each other's hands, and the more they got into the Darkhold, they let go and touched both their hands to the book. I thought it was a really kind of interesting moment where it was like, before the book, each other were the most important thing to them, and after the book is the most important thing to them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, she woke him up from his coma and left him to die.
Yep.
To go get that book.
I mean, the Darkhold requires certain souls. Like souls or sacrifices. Yeah. I don't think it's blood magic per se, but it's more or less the same thing. Yeah. Same principle of like you can't just learn its secrets and then do its magic. It will take something from you in exchange for what it is giving. So it very well may have like taken their spirit or their soul or any number of things while it like was giving them this knowledge.
Yeah.
A lot of people are asking because like yes, it's true. The Darkhold in comics can create vampires.
Yes.
it has.
No, I don't think they're going to do that. Yes, I think this could be a seed that in 5 years when they want to start doing Blade, which they're not doing.
The living vampire.
Loeb and Feige have both confirmed that there are no plans to do anything with Blade.
What about Mobius the living vampire?
Oh, that's some Spider-Man 90s cartoon stuff.
Mobius showed up on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my gosh.
But it can create things like vampires and werewolves. I think in this instance, they're going to use it to create ghosts. Yeah. That's the mystical thing that the Darkhold's creating.
Again,
more booze for the Boo Crew.
And with this, again, the idea that something has to be sacrificed, we're getting into like some Full Metal Alchemist type stuff of something of equal value must be lost in order to obtain something. I'm wondering if Lucy's not kind of looking to the future now that she has Eli to read the book for her. I'm wondering, one, if she can keep him like under her control in the meantime, or if he's not going to obviously try to backstab her the first chance he gets.
Yeah.
If like the book isn't going to corrupt him in some way, in the same way that it corrupted all of them, or if like she's planning on manipulating him and then using him as said sacrifice to bring herself back to life.
Like, yeah.
That's a possibility.
I also really like that we saw a tactical use for the ghost virus, where we see that if she gives you that virus and makes you think that, number one, we found out something very important, that if you were infected with the virus, you see other people with the virus as not demons. Because we saw the security guards working together to attack Coulson and May, who did not have the virus. But also we saw a really interesting tactical use where she turned the entire staff of that prison against Coulson and May by giving them that virus,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really cool and really interesting.
Not to mention just the threat of it to get Eli.
Yeah.
And
she has a gun in her hand. Like, her hand is effectively a gun or knife.
Yeah, and the idea that, you know, she can become corporeal at will, too, it's a very good thing in terms of, like, a tactical advantage, being able to disappear into the wall and not reappear until she needs to pull a lever of some sort.
To which I said, what a dick. When she pulled that lever, I was like, Lucy's being a real dick right now.
Yeah, and again, and now correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like she's the only member of the Boo Crew left at this point. Like, I feel like everybody else is dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie took out the other two with the greatest, awesome, he's just like, oh, we got to fight? Well, let me pick up this chain because I know this is effective now.
Why are there so many miscellaneous chains lying around?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
In the MCU, it is confirmed there are more chains there than there are in any other universe. I could watch Robbie Reyes disintegrate ghosts for 24 hours straight. I could marathon it.
No, oh gosh, the moment he transformed in this, I mean, because yeah, he's doing the little Ghost Rider thing with the whip, you know, to fight, and then, but the moment he tells Eli to go on without him, and like he turns back around, I'm like screaming at the television, I'm like, Robbie, no, don't do it. But again, it's, and we see that transformation sequence again, it
so cool.
Never fails to give me chills.
Yeah. I loved this, that scene when he's walking and he's leaving, because I could hear like it, the way that it's written in the books is like the spirit, which again is Eli, which is very, very different from the way that they're doing it on screen. So I don't feel like it's a spoiler at all.
Yeah.
But the spirit like speaks directly to him, and they have like lengthy conversations where Eli is, where Robbie is saying like, no, I don't want to do that, and the spirit saying, no, vengeance must be had, like that person deserves it, you know, they deserve it, you should do this, and effectively pushing and pushing and pushing.
It reminds me of the Moon Knight reboot where like he has a god basically telling him to do that as well.
Yeah. I mean, but that's so you can see that like play out.
You can
in his face.
Almost like, and that's how good the acting is. You can almost like hear the conversation like as it's happening just through his facial features.
Yeah.
And it's such great emoting.
He deserves to die.
And yeah, and again, like talking about
that
the comic book version of Eli, Eli is a special kind of not cool in the book, in terms of like his manipulation of Robbie, because when Robbie initially gets the spirit, he has no idea it's his uncle.
Yeah, like, and I mean, until next week, we don't really know about the nature of this beast. And until then, I'm very interested to how they're treating Eli, because Eli's a mass murderer. Or not Eli, sorry, Robbie. Robbie's a mass murderer. He's killed 20s of 30s of people. And
you can say it's vigilante justice. It doesn't change the fact that
he's
murder.
Killed
just
a lot of
murdering
people. Like, he literally ran his car into a guy like who was chained to his wall.
Exactly.
He's tortured and murdered people.
But they're not treating him like he is a murderer. Which is an interest. So
the members of S.H.I.E.L.D., you mean?
Yeah, or just like the
show itself.
The tone of the
narrative,
show is not. It does not seem like Robbie is a bad guy. So I think we have to assume that the writer is a separate character than Robbie, because otherwise I feel like the tone would be very different. They wouldn't have a guy who's murdered a bunch of people act and be treated with this tone.
I mean, it reminds not in the tone or exact anything, but like it reminds me of watching Dexter, where you're like, these people are all terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the first people that we see Robbie kill are Nazis, like neo-Nazis. Yeah. So it's not that we think that these people deserve to like have good lives or anything like that, but yeah, it's that struggle of like, those people are bad, but what you're doing is also bad, and the two bads don't make it
two wrongs
okay.
Don't make a right.
I think we have to infer that the spirit is a different character,
but it also still has limitations, because when he looked at Daisy, like, he was able to make the call of like, no, you're not that bad of a person. So it'll be interesting to see if this version of the spirit has that particular code of ethics, or if it was Robbie making that call. It's difficult to say at this point.
Well, I think that the spirit, like, whether it's Robbie or whatever this version of the spirit of vengeance is not, it wouldn't have gone for Daisy, because that's not going to help it. Like, the spirit is looking
There's nothing to avenge with
exactly.
Her.
It's not just like, I'm going to kill people who are like pissing me off. It's, I'm going to kill people who deserve to die, because it either fuels the spirit, or if it is like they keep inferring that it's like almost like a contractual thing. Like if it's like, you need to reap this many souls before you're free.
It does kind of seem, because like, there was a lot of conflict on Robbie's face when, you know, trying to decide whether or not to stay in the prison and you know, avenge him and his brother.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to keep going, and whether or not that was a contractual thing or just him wanting to avenge him and his brother because a terrible thing happened to them and he knew this guy was partially responsible.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is if it was his active choice to come back and kill him, then Robbie isn't as good a guy as we've been painted to see him as.
This guy paralyzed his little brother, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he should have his face.
That he should light him on fire.
Or did the inner dialogue go like, I need to go follow Eli.
I need to take care of my uncle.
You need to kill this guy. Well, maybe, okay, I'll just question him.
Yeah.
And then it just escalated from there.
And when he gets the worst possible answers that he could have gotten from this guy,
yeah,
that's when he can't keep back the rider any longer.
So, yeah, well, again, all stuff we will probably touch on more a little bit next week when we get the origin story.
Yeah.
We talked about Daisy. So let's talk a little bit about Daisy in this episode.
All right, Daisy.
Gauntlets are back, baby.
The gauntlets are back, but she's not, like, I don't even know why she's wearing them, except maybe as protection, because they said that even if with the gauntlets, she would shatter all of her bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and potentially become, you know, paralyzed for the rest of her life.
When she leaves, like, she, like, tries to, like, ditch May and Coulson, like, no, I've got this. Like, did anyone else just look at that, and she's just like, no, go, Mom and Dad, I can handle myself.
Well, I think... I liked that May kind of caught on to it, the whole, like, I think she wanted to die in that fight.
She's literally looking for any excuse to throw her life away.
It was consistent with what her story this season has been, where she feels she's got, like, a serious bad case of survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
And everyone around her that she cares about usually ends up dying, so she's isolated herself.
So she's trying to push everybody away.
I'm really glad that they kept that B-plot going, that the Inhumans haven't been left to the wayside while the Watchdogs, well, we've got this magic and stuff going on, too.
Exactly.
I was really concerned that once we got Daisy back on Team S.H.I.E.L.D., that, like, the Inhuman and Watchdog story would kind of be dropped.
Oh, no, it's only getting started.
In favor for the Darkhold and the Ghost Rider story. So I'm really glad that they kept that B story going, because it's super interesting. I think it gives Daisy a really good reason to be there.
And we're seeing them sort of intertwine. I have some predictions as we get towards the final scene, like, about how that's going to really intertwine. Because that's the big thing that S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, has always been good about, is they don't just give you two stories that sort of run and then they sort of maybe cross over a little bit. These are going to be important to the same story for a reason, not just because they share characters.
Yeah, no, I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. is really good about taking seemingly separate plot lines and somehow combining them.
Zach, are you predicting Ghost Dogs?
No, that is not, to be clear, not what I was predicting.
Like, the Watchdogs become ghosts and then they fight Inhumans from beyond the grave?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking if Zach is predicting Ghost Dogs.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Neo-Nazi ghosts.
Although Spirit wolves?
Just, Megan, can we...
Let's move on. So, yeah, Daisy in particular, it's... And I agree with you 100%. I love that May is the one that has this sit-down talk with her towards the end, because she went through something very, very similar when she became known as the Cavalry. She went through this horribly traumatic experience and tried to isolate herself away from the people who cared about her. It ruined her marriage. Mm-hmm. It ruined her friendships. It ruined her career. And then, like, when she's just trying to live a very quiet life away from human connection, Phil Coulson comes and pulls her out of that cubicle, you know, and as she put it, you don't get to choose who cares about you. And Phil has a bigger heart than most. And I really liked that. It was a good way of being like, look, I understand what you're going through, but the fact of the matter is that this person is going to care about you no matter what. And what you're doing not only is self-destructive, but it's also hurting him. Stop it.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
Can we talk about the fact that May saw something after she died, and it was Phil?
Yeah, but we can't let that go to his head, guys.
Philinda shippers are... I'm not a Philinda shipper, but whoever is just dancing right now.
Or Molson. which is a Canadian beer.
That's one of, I won't say it's the worst ship name I've ever heard. It's one of the worst I've ship names I've ever
worse.
Heard.
I think it's I've beautiful. Said way worse.
Molson. May Colson.
Oh, gosh. Fandom, please give us a better ship name than that.
Don't do it. Send us pictures of Molsons.
No, I don't want to know what that looks like. But anyway, it sounds like something you have to see a doctor for. But honestly, I was really worried when he started asking her about like what it was like to die, because a lot of stories right now, like there's a lot of like, when people ask that question in a narrative, a lot of times the answer is nothing. I got nothing.
Well, hold on, because Phil has also died.
Yeah, so... but he made the specific point of whatever I would have seen was wiped away. Yeah. And I have gone through the same thing. What did you experience? Because we have this shared connection now.
I'm also going to say that if you get killed by an Asgardian god of mischief... who is the father of the Asgardian goddess of death, I'm betting that experience is a lot different than
just having your heart shut down by medical professionals.
I feel like it's a very different thing.
In fairness, May died of ghost virus.
Yeah, sure.
So closer than
one might initially think.
I'm going to say that what you see when you die is a multiple tapestry based off of what type of otherworldly beast is the one that kills you?
Is it like a choose your own adventure story? Well, like depending on the type of like grisly supernatural death you experience, you get a different final movie that you get to see before
fatality.
You die. I think it's like a math equation. Like if you
correct variables and you'll get a certain outcome.
Asgardian,
it's like a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah, Asgardian spear plus Asgardian god of mischief equals Valhalla or Helheim. I'm not sure.
If you selected B for question 2 and D for question 7, then you see your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you get these two, apparently you see Phil Coulson.
Yeah, that's the equation I want.
Yeah, let's be honest. I'll probably see either. No, I'll see Peggy.
Oh,
it'll be Peggy.
Oh, Peggy.
I'll see Dottie.
Oh.
It's canon. I've always been a Dottie guy.
No love for Angie, guys? Angie's great.
I'm a Dottie guy.
We never know what happened. We never found out what happened to her. Anyway, before we move on with the rest of this episode, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. We love that we're on an international platform that continues to blow my mind every single week. And it is the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on when you go to iTunes to leave a comment. And if you happen to, you may even get a shout-out on the show.
We only have one shout-out this week. Because you guys did shout-outs last week.
Yeah.
We did, although Phil Coulson's left hand did not appear in the iTunes
store. Well, he's the one shout-out that we have this week.
So for your entertainment,
so for the rest
ladies
of you,
and gentlemen.
Just because we passed the 600 mark doesn't mean you can slack. Remember that if you can get us to 700, we're going to do something ridiculous. And that's beyond just the ridiculous stuff we do anyway.
Yeah.
We'll figure out
something extremely
different
ridiculous.
Than the singing and the cosplay. We'll figure something out.
From Phil Coulson's left hand, the good old days. Mm. New life was breathed into me a couple episodes ago, and I'm still riding high. You guys, this is the one time his prosthetic didn't magically swoop in and save the day. Sorry, today Phil Coulson's left hand. Totally
it did. It was super awesome. Sorry, Phil Coulson's
yay
left
for
hand.
Blackouts. Can we get them more often, please? Like every episode? All the time? Then maybe Phil will truly see the error of his ways. On a slightly more melancholy note, the other day I was reminiscing about life before the axe. Life was good, you know? Too bad we never know when we're in the good old days until they're gone.
I feel so bad. Phil Coulson's left hand, I know that your relationship is hurting, but you gotta move on, man.
You gotta move on, because Phil's got a real sexy new left hand.
I was gonna
say, plenty of wrists in the sea.
I was gonna say, maybe he could be reattached to a recent amputee, or maybe he could get himself a prosthetic person to attach himself to.
Yeah.
I mean,
get yourself a mechanical person.
Or an LMD, Ada. Go attach yourself to an LMD. Look, you deserve better.
We know Phil's got an LMD somewhere in the S.H.I.E.L.D. basements, sure. Right next to Fury's, like, 800 LMDs. There's one Coulson and probably, like, another army of Dugans.
Oh, yeah. Dugans.
He has a whole army of them now, yeah. Too. Yeah. So just go find that one and replace that left hand.
There aren't enough cigars in the United States for an army of Dugan LMDs.
Oh, demand would skyrocket. Yeah. The economy couldn't handle it.
Thank goodness we've opened trade with Cuba.
I think the LMD Dum Dum Dugan would use an electronic cigar.
Oh, that'd be...
Then that's no Dugan to me.
All right.
So to get back, again... Cannot say thank you enough to everybody.
Yeah, thank you guys. If you're international, please let us know. We love it. And if you're rating us on iTunes, we can't see it. So take a screenshot and tweet it to us, or like put it on our YouTube video or something like that, and we'll see it.
But by no means just because we can't initially see it, don't think that that comment doesn't matter, because our producers look at the international numbers as well. So every bit counts. So you guys are the best. Thank you so much. So, okay, do you guys want to talk about that, like, impromptu debate that Gemma put on? Because, like, that was, I mean, talk about being put on the spot. You're in the middle of a lie detector test. You're in the middle of being caught in a lie in a lie detector test. And you're pulled away from that to be like, BT Dubs, I'm going into this debate with a racist in, like, a racist senator in, like, now. Can you help with that? Like, live? You're good, right? Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, this also was a great segment. I really liked it. Mace is quickly becoming, like, one of my favorite characters. I like that he is such, such a politician. Like, he killed that debate. He was great in that debate. And I really like this senator character that is a really good foil for him. I think it's also confirmed that she is, like, part of the Watchdogs, right? Like, she knew about that prison.
Yeah, because her significant other, like, got turned to an inhuman.
A husk.
Yeah, husk thing that's not...
I thought it was her brother.
I think it was her brother, yeah.
Was it her brother? You know, honestly, it was at the end of the episode. I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure it was her brother, which is especially interesting and, like, a perfect, like, true-to-life thing, because... That means that if she was ever exposed to Terrigen, she would be, we figured out that because, no, that's right, she's not an Inhuman.
Yeah.
Because her brother didn't go through Terrigenesis.
Unless she's adopted.
Inhuman, being an Inhuman absolutely is genetic.
Yes.
It is passed down. And locked away until you go through Terrigenesis, and that's when it's activated. It's a dormant trait.
Yeah, we had some people like being experimented on in the last season who they were trying to artificially create more in humans.
Although, hold on, because I'm trying to piece this all together, because like we saw the shell of a guy.
Yeah.
But the only way that he would have gone through that in that way if he wasn't an Inhuman, unless that's just a shell and her brother is out there being an Inhuman.
He could be.
Then it would mean that she was exposed to the blue crystals that were like weapons.
Yeah,
fish oil style Terrigen cannot hurt a regular human. It just goes through. Goes through and
exactly.
is done. So that means her brother, whoever her brother is out there, and it means that she is an Inhuman that has just not been activated.
Yeah, I mean. Because
throw some fish oil at her.
You get another hellfire on your hands.
When Trip died.
Somebody who's an Inhuman but hates themselves for being an Inhuman.
When Trip died, he also became like that husk.
But again, that was the weaponized form of it.
Yeah, it was the metal that was in the obelisk now, that caused the
human. Rest and Trip. We miss you, Trip, every day.
Oh, we do. It is entirely possible that somebody does. I mean, there are a lot of Inhumans out there. It's entirely possible that somebody might have some crystals lying around.
Or she could be adopted.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there are a lot of possibilities.
But it's a perfect, like, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is smart, and they use their analogies. Like, look, S.H.I.E.L.D. is not really subtle, necessarily, with their analogies. And the idea of somebody hating something that they, they discover later that they are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also entirely possible that her brother went through Terrigenesis and became gas. Because it's kind of a roulette when you play the Terrigenesis game.
He could have been all those magazines. Sometimes you become a door.
Yeah, he could be the front door to her apartment.
Sometimes you become a bunch of magazines.
It's kind of a crapshoot.
But I thought that debate was fantastic. I thought it was really good. Mace is such a cool character.
Yeah.
I like that we got, because we were talking about the lie detector test last time. It's not just a blood pressure test. It's multiple things.
Yeah, because
like
you can
a lot of checks and balances.
You can, you know, you can fudge a polygraph test like in the real world, but this is like super S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Like where, you know, they track your eye dart movements and things like that.
There's a character in the Moon Knight reboot, and his mutant power is he can see every micro expression that anyone makes, and so like he can read people like a book. Because like it'll like in the pages it'll be like what's his bed, like all of this stuff like written in red around the person, like he's has like, an inferiority complex, like
it's
that
like
kind of
super
stuff.
Super Sherlock.
Yeah, he's super Sherlock.
Wow.
He's a really cool character that they didn't do anything with. I was like, this guy's so cool.
That guy's so cool. Let's never touch him again. And
I was
let's
trying
just
to look
on with our
Burrows,
story.
The guy that was working with Mace. And the only one I could find was like a weird like lizard villain guy.
Yeah, I don't know any Burrows.
It's interesting whenever we get name drops in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're like, that has to be someone, right?
It was too. It was so pointless to give him a name.
They've dropped him. They've dropped his name before.
Yeah,
they did a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. What's his face? Is Harmon and Burroughs, are those the same person, or are those two different people?
His first name is Harmon. Last name
is Roland Burroughs.
Wait, is he part of the Serpent like Society?
I'm double checking it now. I don't want to say it wrong.
The point is he's part
of the Serpent Squad.
Okay.
And the Serpent Society.
Okay, so that might be an intentional reference then. And point Death being Adder. Is that he seems
he's
to
that
be.
Guy.
he was created by the Roxxon Oil Company, which is an MCU established company.
Yep. It is.
All right. Let's.
Anyway,
not a lot of time.
Point being is that he is, you know, he is definitely loyal to the director, and the director, as we see, like it's just so interesting because he is that good politician, and he's so good with like Gemma. He's like, oh, I need your help. He's very charming, but like every now and then he'll just give someone a look, and like with the audio cues and the music and just the lighting, just that look, you're like, I don't think I want to mess with this guy. Like, I don't know if like this senator who comes in, you know, who arranges this clandestine meeting and then shows security footage. I don't know if I would want to be in her shoes, because I don't think I'd ever want to blackmail a guy who could snap my neck.
Yeah. I mean, he came out as a Inhuman on live on broadcast, and like, that was something that he was keeping as a card to play. Like, he definitely, the reason why he didn't come out and say it before is because he knew he could use it in
later
a debate
on.
And later on.
Yeah.
Like, he seems very tactfully aware.
He's very tactical.
He's very tactical. And at the same time, we also know there's something screwed up about his past. That his claim to be a hero, it might not be 100% true.
Oh, which that was a cool MCU little like Easter egg, because the if he was saving people in an attack on the UN in Vienna, it means he was there when King T'Chaka died in Civil War.
Yeah,
and that's where he was saving people.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
but was he?
Was
because
he now?
That's apparently what was he doing? Gemma was like saw that like that's in question.
Yeah, and the thing is like, would you like when she says if I go back in the lie detector test and I give my real thoughts on that interview, you're not gonna like that. Is that just because she was feeding him information, or because she knows he's lying about something that because he's technically lying to the entire nation having an earpiece in his ear?
Should we? I have thoughts on this. Should we do it in predictions?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Are there any final thoughts before we roll into predictions? No.
I just liked all the creepy ghost stuff. Like, I like that we can live in a super science world and a ghost world, and it works for this show.
They can say ghost without batting an eyelash.
Yeah, go Boo Crew.
All right.
Zach, any final thoughts?
No. Well, look, Mac is, of course, very resistant to the ghost virus because Macs don't get viruses.
He's badum-tish. But he, like, joking aside, he's such a badass. And yeah. Just, like, the point where he's like, huh, I've got that thing. I got it.
I got the layup from someone in chat on that one.
They also, thank you, Chris. Viral cure for the ghost virus.
Yeah, which sadly Joe did not get. Right. In time. Let's go ahead and roll into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Zach, go
okay,
right ahead.
So I think that Mace is being propped up by the United States government as a hero that they, like, could back and have on their side in the wake of Captain America dropping out. So, yes, like, what he was probably in Vienna. Maybe he was, like, a war hero, a soldier of some kind.
Yeah.
But just like they turned him into Captain America in the comics, they turned this guy into their hero that they could then put on the front of all these pages, all of these newspapers, and say, this is what a true American captain looks like, not the guy who's like fighting us and like causing all these problems. So he's a manufactured hero, and that's what he's hiding.
You know, that makes a lot of sense given that Captain America is AWOL at the moment. Yeah. Jesse?
Yeah, I just think I think we're going to get some really interesting kind of mystical backstory. I'm looking to see if we get a major player in the next episode when we get the origin, if we get a Dormammu, if we get a like Darkchild, if we get someone like that Blackheart, Mephisto, any of these like major mystical players. I wonder who they're saving for the movies, like if Doctor Strange is going to have one of those. Dormammu makes sense for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I concur.
And
it's
if we're going to get
Flame and Head.
If we're gonna get a mystical player in the next couple episodes.
I mean, I'm still banking on Mephisto. I will be, because again, Robbie made a deal with the devil, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So I will be very interested to see again the alterations to his backstory. I think that will be fascinating. In terms of like what else is going on, I'm banking that Lucy is going to try to sacrifice Eli to save herself.
Oh yeah,
for sure. And yeah, I think that's all we have time for right now.
Awesome.
Yeah. Again, thank you guys so much. Again, any final thoughts before we head on out for the
evening? Guys, I'm so excited this show exists.
Very jazzed.
Yeah. I every week I sit as we're sitting down and watching it, I'm like, I love this show so much. I couldn't ask to be on a better show right now. It's fantastic. So, thank you all so much for watching. Jesse, where can people go if they want to find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. Also, tomorrow at 3 p.m. on Popcorn Talk, our sister network, Zach and I do a show called Sci-Fi Weekly. We break down the news of the week about science fiction, and we usually talk about a movie, whether it holds up, what makes science fiction so important to us, why we love it. This next show, we are doing Thing from Another World, The Thing, and then the remake of The Thing in the 2000s. Yes!
It's The Thing versus The Thing, Thing versus The Thing. Thing. All The Things tomorrow at 3 on Sci-Fi Weekly. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ThatZachWilson.
I am so happy for you guys. That's a wonderful topic. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's such a wonderful horror movie. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Don't forget to follow our friend Agent Azuri at Jay Azuri as well. You guys can also find me here on a bunch of shows at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. Again, thank you to everybody in the live chat. Thank you for staying up with us. Thank you to everybody in the hashtag as well. Thank you all so, so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.